Morning, everyone. Hear the word of the Lord. This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, and to the very end of the age." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and preach here this morning. It's been far too long since I've seen all of your wonderful faces, and it's always a thrill to be able to come here and share the word with you. To help us better understand the passage this morning, and the implications that this has for all of us, I think it's important that I tell you a little bit about my own story and what this incredible ministry is that you have been supporting over the years. Incarnation Church is extremely thankful to everyone here at Chinese Community Church. You have supported us through thick and thin in a time several years ago when we didn't have any financial support and backing really from any churches at all. We were really struggling, reaching out to the lost and disenfranchised in our community, people that honestly would not feel comfortable at any of the other churches in our area. Many of these people had been burned by churches and had really bad experiences. At the time, we called them de-churched. There's now a new demographic term for this kind of person. They're referred to as the nuns, which just means they have no particular religious affiliation anymore, or the duns, which means they've tried religion and they're just completely done with it and don't have any desire to turn back to. These are the kinds of people that we've ministered to over the years, and you have helped to make that possible, and I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. By doing that, by supporting us, you are fulfilling this passage that we just heard. It's a very well-known passage in Scripture. We call it the Great Commission. This is the Great Commission of Jesus Christ to the church, telling them to go out and make disciples of all nations. This includes all kinds of people, all kinds of ethnic groups, all kinds of people from various religious backgrounds, people who have no experience with church whatsoever, and it includes people who've been burned by the church and are trying to figure out what they believe and struggling. All these people need to hear and experience the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. It's the only message that can solve what's wrong with humanity, what's wrong with the world, and fix it. And for your support, I am extremely thankful. I can't thank you enough. I mean, Rachel and Elliot and I would not still be here ministering today if it weren't for the incredible support that this church has given us. And all the faces you see out here today who are a part of Incarnation, none of them would be here if it weren't for the support that you have done. Your story intersects directly with all of ours. So again, I cannot thank you enough for being obedient to this Great Commission and seeing the validity of the mission that we've had in Roseville over the years. So that with as sort of an introduction, my background prior to going to seminary and pursuing training in ministry was in the music world. And as many of you know, whenever I preach and teach, I always use a song to help me do that. I do that whenever I can. Whenever I hear a song, I hear a sermon. It's kind of this weird little quirk, you know, that I have. I'm not one of those guys that's really good at giving sports references or anything like that. I've tried and failed miserably, but I find that I can connect really well utilizing music, and this is something that the Apostle Paul did as well. If you're familiar with the story in Acts chapter 18 on Mars Hill, when Paul is preaching the gospel to a crowd that really knew nothing about the Jewish religion whatsoever, he utilized quotes from their own prophets and their own poets and their own songwriters, and use these quotes as a way of pointing people to salvation that's made possible for humanity through Jesus Christ. And so when I hear songs, I try and do the same thing. I think this is one of the many ways that the Apostle Paul fulfilled the Great Commission that we see in today's passage, and it's one of the ways that we choose to do that as well. My favorite source material for music is my second favorite JC besides Jesus Christ, and that's Johnny Cash. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite one of our musicians, Mr. Mike Rowe, to come up and perform a song by Johnny Cash that describes Johnny's life story in terms of how he lived his life differently after an encounter with Jesus Christ. To put differently, this is how Johnny Cash chose to be obedient to the Great Commission that we read about in today's scripture. And so I'm calling the message "The Man in Black Meets the Man Upstairs," because for those of you who know Johnny Cash's story, you'll know that he was very similar to the kind of people that we've reached out to. He grew up in a semi-religious household. He had some really bad experiences. He had lots of questions. He was a skeptic. He rebelled against God. He struggled with addictions. He struggled with bad relationships, and yet he kept returning to Jesus over and over again. And the most beautiful, most powerful times in his life were those times when he was walking in obedience to this Great Commission, living his life in the world in the way that Jesus wanted him to, and sharing that message, the message of salvation that Jesus offers to everyone. He didn't care who it was. In fact, he was particularly passionate about sharing it with prisoners, with the poor, with the downtrodden, with the addicted, with people who had gone through very similar things that he'd gone through in his own life. So at this time, what I'd like to do is pass things off to Mike to perform his version of this great Johnny Cash song, and then I'll unpack the scripture a little bit more and tell you a little bit more about what's been happening in our neck of the woods over in Roseville.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungrier side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time. I wear the black for those who've never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why you'd thinking that he's talking straight to you and me? Where we're doing mighty fine, I suppose, in our streak of lightning cars and fancy clothes. But just so we're reminded of the ones who are held back, up front there ought to be a man in black. I wear it for the sick and lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trips left them cold. I wear the black in mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. And I wear it for the thousands who have died, believing that the Lord was on their side. And I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side. Well, there are things that never will be right, I know, and things need changing everywhere you go. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. And I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. That was amazing. As I said, Johnny Cash was the kind of person that I think typifies the type of person that we've had to reach out to over the years, a person who has some experience with church, who's somewhat religious, but who's also skeptical and struggling with various things in life. The man in black, when he meets the man upstairs, becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he responds, like today's passage tells us, by observing all the things that was commanded to him by the Lord. And for Johnny Cash, he found the best way to express this was by taking on the mantle of a man in black, and then he can go out and do justice in his name. And it was a question people asked him all the time: why do you always wear black? And then he could give a great response and explain, you know, how he has this passion for the lost, and he does it as an act of solidarity with them and point them to Jesus. Now, if you know Johnny's story, you'll know that he had plenty of doubt and struggles throughout his life. His pantheon of songs reflect this. And what I found over the years of ministering to the nuns and the duns in our community is the power that creating a safe place for discussion and wrestling with life's issues can have. I mean, that wrestling is very real, and it's something that's present in people who've walked with Christ their entire life. It's present in people who are unsure what they believe concerning God and Jesus Christ. And it's present in today's scripture as well. And I'm very thankful that the direction our ministry has pursued now is providing a safe place for people to come and have discussions. We have an incredible coffee shop that our church helped to open up that is now becoming a beacon of light in the community. I see people who are filled with despair and doubt all the time come in there, and they just feel like they're walking into sacred space and a space of peace. I hear people using these words to describe it all the time. People who are outside of the church will say these same things about the space where we serve them coffee. And sometimes it's just a matter of people enjoying a nice cup of coffee and community, and they can feel the presence of God in that context. Sometimes it goes a lot deeper than that, and oftentimes what will happen is some people who are really distraught will end up finding their way into our church services on Sunday mornings. And it's just been an incredible experience to see that happen, all because we provided a safe place where people can express their doubts. A safe place. And this is something that we find is necessary because we find that this is part of the human condition. It's in today's passage as well. Verse 16 says this. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to that mountain which Jesus had directed them towards." And then it says this. It says, when they got there, some of them worshiped them, and it says that some of them doubted. Now, let me give you the context of what's going on here. This is part of the Easter story. This is part of the post-resurrection story of Jesus Christ. This is part of the story that is the most incredible, life-changing, powerful event in all of history. This is like the climax of the Christian story right here. These people had seen Jesus arrested. They had seen Jesus betrayed. They had seen him tried. They watched as he was tortured. They watched as he was crucified. They saw him die. These people saw a soldier take a spear and pierce his side, and they saw blood and water flow from the side of Jesus Christ. They saw people take his body down off of the cross and take him away to a tomb, and many of them saw a stone rolled in front of the tomb to make sure that no one could go in there and steal his body. They saw all these things. And now they see that very same person, Jesus Christ, standing in front of them in risen glory. Somehow he had managed to conquer the power of sin, the power of death, and the power of the devil. He had risen up from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The stone was rolled away. He emerged in a glorious state and started to spread the message of his resurrection to others and what the resurrection meant. This is the moment that we're in today. These people are witnessing the same Jesus that they'd seen all these horrible things happen to in his resurrected glory. Can you imagine for a moment how powerful that moment must have been for them? Imagine that you're there and you had seen all these horrible things happen to Jesus, and now you see him standing in complete victory over all these things. Now, you would think in this context that any doubt that you had would just completely melt away, and you would just be moved to worship him and give thanks to God for everything that God had done through him. And yet, today's passage makes it very clear. Everyone doesn't worship him the same way in this context. There's a very overlooked portion in the Great Commission passage because it's not a super happy portion, but I think it's there to encourage us. It says this, very clearly it says that when they saw Jesus, many worshiped him, but then it says this, but some doubted. Think about this. Even in the presence of the resurrected Jesus, some people were doubting. I think this is in the story as a way of letting us know it's okay to wrestle with doubt. Jesus will meet us wherever we are, and that includes meeting us with whatever fears and doubts we might have. Again, our mission as a church has been to meet people who are doubting where they are. And I'm so thankful that our church culture has been built upon that foundation. And then 16 months ago, we opened up the coffee shop as an expression of our church community so that we have, you know, a greater face in the greater Roseville area. And we have all kinds of people who come on a regular basis that we get to have these kinds of conversations with who struggle with doubt and struggle with fear. You know, this is a place where people can go just for a good cup of coffee if they want, but it's also a place where people can go and experience genuine community. It's a place where people can enter into that community. And then the more they enter into that community, the more they have an opportunity to find Jesus Christ in a way that maybe they never knew him before, or maybe to discover him for the first time. This comes through relationships and conversations, even through visiting our church on Sunday mornings. Because we believe, this is really important, we believe that Jesus does not leave people stranded in their doubt. He meets them where they are. He allows them to encounter him. And the more the people encounter Jesus, the more that their doubt will inevitably melt away. Look at the passage. In verse 18, Jesus says that he has incredible power and authority. He says, all authority that exists, all the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is incredible. This is a great reminder that in spite of our doubts, he still has authority. He's still in charge of everything. This includes our doubt and our fears, our struggles. This means that he has the power to enable us to do the very thing that he commands us to do. So he's not commanding us to go out and do all these incredible things in a vacuum. He's actually doing this in the context of having all power and all authority first and foremost. So he then passes that authority and power to us. He gives us the ability to do the very thing that he commands us to do. And his commandment, of course, is very well known. He says, go out and make disciples of all nations, starting in 19 here. And then he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's such a familiar verse for us. Anyone who spent any time in church or who's been a Christian for any period of time should be familiar with this passage. But it can be very easy to forget the power that exists behind this great commission. He doesn't just tell us to go out and do this. He actually gives us the power and the ability to do it. It's amazing. It'd be like, you know, if we told our kids to go out and get groceries for us, but then we also give them the keys to the car so they can go out and do the very thing that we're telling them to do. I mean, it's pointless to tell our kids to go and get the groceries for us if we don't also let them, you know, take our car and get the groceries for us. Not the best analogy in my life because my kid's only 10 years old, but you get the point. Like, he's actually giving them the power and authority to do the thing that he's commanding them to do. And he's saying this to people who he knows full well have their doubts. He knows that. He knows they have doubt. Doesn't catch them by surprise at all. All we need to do if we have these doubts is come to him. So let me pause for a moment and reflect upon that. People who doubt, you know, the nuns, the duns, the D-church, the skeptics, whatever label you want to put on them, they exist everywhere. They do. There's probably even some here today, this morning. Everybody's spiritual journey varies. Everyone is at a different place on their spiritual journeys. We ebb and flow sometimes in our relationship with Jesus or our understanding of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Sometimes, even people of great faith have incredible moments of doubt and despair. If you study church history, you'll find that that is the case. People throughout history have had these moments of intense despair and doubt. Even a great reformer like Martin Luther, who helped to spearhead an entire movement to return back to the power of the gospel to change and transform lives, had moments of incredible doubt and incredible despair. And yet God was faithful to him in the midst of that doubt, in the midst of that despair. And for him, what he did is he just had to be as honest as he possibly could be about that doubt and despair that he was going through. It's okay to be unsure of what you believe sometimes. Just know you don't have to be stranded forever in that state of doubt. You don't have to be in bondage to that doubt and despair. Jesus has given so much power and authority to his followers that anyone can become a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Anyone can experience baptism and entrance into the church community. Anyone can experience the power of prayer and the power that can come just from hearing the word of God preached and proclaimed. Even people who doubt can experience things like that. I think our church community is proof of that. I have seen so many people who've come to us at various phases of their own spiritual journeys, many people who had completely given up on church, and they just came because, they heard we had good coffee on Sunday mornings. Not going to lie, we do tell people that sometimes, and it does bring people in. We've had people who've done that who had no faith. They were filled with doubt and despair. They were in bondage to doubt and despair, and yet as they experienced Jesus Christ in our community, they were able to draw nearer to Jesus. It's one of the ways that we fulfill this passage today, this great commission. And as people draw nearer to Jesus, and it doesn't matter if they've been walking with Jesus for years or if they're just starting to discover what that means, something incredible happens. The closer people get to Jesus, the more transformation that happens. It doesn't mean that people aren't going to struggle anymore. It doesn't mean people aren't going to doubt anymore. We all do. I think that's why this is included in the Great Commission today, that some doubted. Some will worship freely without any kind of doubt or despair, and others will doubt. But it doesn't have to rule over us. The doubt doesn't have to define us. Now, how is it possible? How can we live in victory over this doubt and despair? Well, I want to give two answers that I think we find in today's passage. First, if you look at verse 20, Jesus, as part of the Great Commission, says we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to teach people. We're supposed to teach people everything that he's commanded us to do. Through being taught the ways of Jesus, the commandments of Jesus, and then obeying these things, something incredible happens to us. Jesus delivers us and shapes us. Through spending time in his word, through learning his will and his desire for our lives, we are changed and transformed. And it's not just as we spend time in church and hear the word preached or taught. It's through obeying him that we are also changed and transformed. I've talked to some people who know the scriptures really, really well, and yet they don't feel the presence of Jesus. And so I will challenge them to actually obey the words of Jesus and do things like go out and spend time with the poor or the homeless or visit some people in prison and talk to them about Jesus. Because according to Jesus, if you go and do all of these things, guess what? He's there. That's where he is. He's in the midst of the poor and the destitute. Go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus in your community. And when you do that, you might experience Jesus in a way that you don't experience him just through hearing the word preached. I'm not downplaying the power of preaching and teaching at all. I mean, I think Jesus is definitely present in that. And we need to have that rooting and that groundedness. But there's so much more. As we go out in obedience and do the things that Jesus has commanded us to do, we get to meet him as well. A lot of people who are in bondage to doubt, it's because they have all these ideas in their head, but they've never actually given it feet in their community. One of the things I love about this church is you guys give feet to Jesus in this community. A pastor that I'm a big fan of is a guy named Tim Keller. He's a church planter in New York City. He's planted an entire network of churches. And his litmus test for the power that a church has is he says this: your church should be so embedded in the life of the community around you that if the church disappeared, people in the community would notice, and they'd be much worse off without you there. One thing I love about Chinese Community Church, I know for a fact, if you guys weren't here, this place would be a terrible place to live and to spend time. You guys are embedded in this community. You are an integral part of this community, and this community is a better place because you're here. That's in part because of how you manifest obedience to this great commission. It's something that more and more followers of Christ need to do. They need to learn how to go out and be Christ in the world around them. The song that Johnny Cash sang says this. It says, I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. And I wear it for the prisoner who's long paid his crime, but he's there because he's a victim of the times. This is, I think, a great way that Johnny Cash uses to communicate that it's important for him to identify with the poor and the downtrodden and those in prison. This is one of the ways that Johnny Cash lives out the Great Commission in his own life. He was notorious for his comments about prisoners and the need to treat prisoners decently. I mean, he even recorded several albums in prisons because he wanted to affirm the humanity of prisoners who were there, you know, because they made bad choices, but he wanted them to know God still loves you and cares about you, and I love you and care about you, and you can make, you know, things better for your life by following Christ. He went where many Christians were afraid to go. Jesus knew that for people who were struggling with doubt, they could experience him better through acts of obedience. The one thing I want to emphasize, he wasn't saying that obedience saves you. So he wasn't saying, you know, go out and spend time with prisoners, and if you do that, you'll earn enough favor with God that, you know, maybe he'll save you and look with favor upon you. He's not saying that at all. Jesus is the one who saves you. It's not your works, it's not your obedience that saves you. What the obedience does is it helps you to draw closer to Christ and to experience him in a more real, tangible way. It's very important to make that decision. Otherwise, we get caught up in just focusing on doing social justice, which is important. But if we think those things save us, we lose sight of Jesus, who is the one who makes salvation possible. Jesus helps us draw closer to him. And when we do that, we become the people we were created to be. And he empowers us to do that. Now, there's a second thing here that can encourage us in the midst of our doubt. Our doubt does not have to rule over us because of the incredible encouragement that God offers to us through Jesus. The Great Commission ends with these incredible words. He says, surely I am with you always. Always. That's a great word, isn't it? I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus was not oblivious to the fact that there were skeptics among the disciples, and he gave, as he's giving the Great Commission. So I think it's important for us to realize that these words are for the convinced, they're for the people that are sure of their faith in Jesus Christ, and these words are also for those who are struggling with doubt. It's for both types of people. No matter where you find yourself on your spiritual journeys, if you've had an encounter with Jesus, he promises that he's going to be with you always to the very end of the age. What an incredible encouragement. Now let me close by bringing this home for all of us. As I said, this church, Chinese Community Church, has always had an incredible heart for mission. You understood our mission as a church plants when it seemed like no one else did. And I'm humbled by that fact. Your support for us has been an incredible blessing, and it's been a fulfillment of this Great Commission. Because all that we do on mission, we're doing in partnership with you. I mean, you're sharing with us in this mission, whether you realize it or not. We're just an extension of what God is doing here in this community. Right now, Incarnation is in a great season of growth. It's amazing. And through both our church and through the coffee shop, as we live our lives in front of the community, we're in a position now where we can influence local politics, we can help the homeless, we can create a positive, supportive local music scene. And we're also seeing an increase in our Sunday morning attendance. We had several baptisms last year and saw at least 15 people return to faith in Christ and to fellowship in the church who were at different spots in their spiritual journeys, and they saw us as kind of like, well, you're my last hope to see if I really want to continue identifying as a Christian or not. We've seen people who wrestle with depression and anxiety who now call Incarnation their home because it's a safe place where they can wrestle through these struggles. We've seen some marriages healed, and we've seen many more people discover their created purpose in life, maybe for the first time, just by virtue of drawing closer and closer to Jesus Christ. If I could put it this way, we've seen many a man in black that was transformed as they encountered the man upstairs. And all of you here have helped to make that possible. And for that, I cannot thank you enough. Thank you so much for being faithful to this great commission that Jesus has given to the church. And thank you also for enabling us to be able to enact this great commission in the community around us. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for the support of everyone here. And I ask this morning that you would continue to pour your Spirit out upon this congregation. I pray through doing that you would transform all of us, no matter where we find ourselves on our spiritual journeys, and you would help us all to draw closer to you. If there's anyone here this morning that does not know you, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them. I pray for all of us and for our hearts that you would bring revival and renewal and regeneration and healing and transformation. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful in obeying this great commission that you have given to the church, not because of any great strength or power that we have, but because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you, and you pass that authority on to us. And I ask, Lord, that you would make all of us here restless until we're able to find our rest and our peace and our identity in you and you alone. I pray all of these things, the praise and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.